Yeah, you know what love is. Even found it on the ground where the thugs live. My man had to dig deep to find his. Couldn't sleep because on the real he had 5 kids. Hey everybody, you know what it is. It's your girl Mila Kay, your trap yogi in charge, and welcome to Confessions of a Trap Yogi. Let's get it cracking. Yo, grab your tea or your Hennessy. Sit back, listen to some dope beats. My name is Mila. Welcome to Confessions of a Trap Yogi. I confess, I love music. I confess, I love love. I confess, I have moments that I doubt myself. I confess, life as a yogi is dope as hell. What up, what up, what up? I absolutely love that intro. Like, I promise you I do. So I have to start off by saying thank you so very much once again, DJ B-Man, for a really awesome intro. This is hella dope. Everybody else, welcome to episode 4. I am your host, Mila, also known as Kelsey Yogi on social media. If you have never checked out the podcast, I'm so happy that you found me. I don't know how you found me, if somebody put you on, if you were just Googling some shit, or you follow me on Facebook or on Instagram. Trust me, I greatly appreciate it. So if you are not familiar with all of the ways you can kind of see what I'm up to, what I talk about, classes that I teach, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Kels the Yogi, K-E-L-S. T-H-E-Y-O-G-I. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm not as active on there, but I am there. And if you're interested in staying really connected, joining my mailing list for my monthly newsletter, find me at my instructor website, www.milakmarshall.com. So yeah, that's the welcome. And I know you like that little, it wasn't a freestyle. It definitely was some rhymes from my homeboy, Common. I say homeboy as if I know him, saw him once, or I met him once when I was at Simeon. He was like walking in the back door to hoop. I remember we were going in for practice. He was like, hey, you know what time it is? And I looked, I was like, oh shit, it's Common. And I'm like, you know, smiling, and I tell him what time it is. And, you know, he went on his way. So I was young, but I was super excited to meet him. And if he ever checks out the podcast, that would make my heart just jump out of my chest. If he were to bless me with even joining me or, you know, talking about the podcast, like, that would be super dope. Speaking to, like, shout outs and what would be dope, I'll tell you what is absolutely dope is the people that have reached out to me, told me that they've been listening or that they found me. So I do want to shout out to some listeners. Namaste Organics, thank you so very much. I am King Razi. I really appreciate you and the work that you do. Thank you for allowing me to kind of highlight you a little bit and following me on social media. I love your music. It was great to meet you, New Year's. And my girl Tiki. It's funny because I remember one of our classmates, Kristen, had posted, like, does anybody know any good podcasts? And I was like, yeah, I do one, you know, Confessions of a Trap Yogi. And that was it. Apparently, my homegirl Tiki had done the same thing. And I didn't respond. So the other day, she posts on Facebook and, like, tags me. And was like, yo, she didn't say anything about the podcast, but she was listening to the first episode and was really enjoying it. So Tiki, you know, I fucks with you. One of my schoolmates from back in the day. Thank you very much for your support and your kind words about the podcast. And, of course it is Black History Month. So go ahead and throw your fists up. I don't know how you've been celebrating, but I have been trying to be as black as I possibly can be. But besides it being Black History Month, it is my birthday month. I am an Aquarian, so I do want to say happy birthday to people like D'Angelo. Jay Dilla was born February 7th, I believe. Kid Capri, his birthday is this month. D'Angelo, his birthday is this month, so happy birthday. And then there were some classic albums dropped Black History Month, like Badu. Badu, Badu. 1997, She Dropped Baduism. 92 was Sir Mix-a-Lot. I don't know if you know any Sir Mix-a-Lot songs, but I do. And the reason why I know is I legit had a record, like a record. And let me see, what was it? My hoopty rolling, tailpipe dragging, heat don't work, and my girl keep nagging. 6'9" Buick, deuce keep rolling, one hubcap, cause three got stolen. I have no clue how I got that record, but that one line, like lines are like stuck in my head forever. So that's my little, you know, this time in hip hop history. So I hope that you all are celebrating this month. And even if you're not Black, so what? Celebrate it anyway. It's not like, you know, Black history hasn't impacted everybody's lives around the world. I think it's a really important month to learn as well as to celebrate. And fuck it. Make Black history. I am Black history. And so are you. And what else? I'm like going down my list of things that I need to hit you all off with before we get into it like we normally do. Oh, the newsletter. So the newsletter goes out once a month. If you want in on it, go ahead and go over to my website and join the mailing list. You'll get it every single month. It comes to your inbox. And it's just a little offering. I always say that. It's some words from the heart, not just from myself this month, but in the spirit of love and sharing love and spreading love. It does reflect the newness of the love that I have in my life. So I have some guest writers. My dear friend Sojourner wrote a lovely piece, and I have to say thank you to Maroon Village, Shay, and Rich for their contribution as well. So if you have not checked out the newsletter for this month and you are on the mailing list, go into your inbox and just type in Namaste and it should pop right up. For those of you who are not on the mailing list, to let you know, the affirmation that we're working with this month is about love. It is about friendship and sharing that love with your friends. The affirmation that we are using is, I honor my friendships by listening and give my friends my full attention when communicating to show them love. I think that's a really important affirmation because often we kind of lose track of staying connected with our friends in an intentional way. Did that sound right? In an intentional way. So if you are so lucky to steal some time away with your best girlfriend, put the fucking phone down. Look at her face. Give your friends your full attention. Listen to their stories and share your stories fully as well. So people think about February and they think about love and romantic love, but it's just so many other aspects to love that, you know, that are real. And when you show up in love for your friends and other people, you end up doing some dope shit. So I wanted to start off the first episode with acknowledging like the allies that have shown up for people just in life that I recognized, and you may be up on it or not. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Jessica Chastain. So Octavia Spencer came out, I think it was an interview, and said that Jessica, who is white, had paired her contract with Octavia's in order to get Octavia more money. That's how you show up for somebody. When I read that, I was like, wow, that's brilliant. Here this, you know, this wonderful actress is, you know, woman of color doing her best in Hollywood. And somebody recognized that she is intentionally being undervalued and underpaid. And if you are not about that life and you don't want to be undervalued and underpaid, that's how you stand up for other people. So a big, big shout out of love to Jessica. And then all the people that were involved in getting Chief Wahoo Berry fucking off of the Cleveland, like removed as the Cleveland mascot. If you had anything to do with that, That's how you show up. I know. It's taken a very, 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 very long time. However, one thing that we know about standing up for each other is we don't always get the results that we want right now. And when you show up for somebody in a way that's consistent, people see that love. People acknowledge it. And it's something that spreads like wildfires. My mouth just like went into a different direction from my brain. So sometimes that happens. And I have to say, if you have not seen Oz on PBS, wow. Where it is like the classical interpretation of Illmatic. Now, if one thing I am for certain about hip-hop music is that it is very healing and it can connect with any soul, no matter what. And when I heard, I think she was like the producer of the show, I don't know, it was at the top of the airing, and she tells the story about calling her 19-year-old son and asking her about Nas and the Illmatic album, and she listens to it, and she's still listening to it. And she says her favorite line is, "Life's a bitch and then you die. It's why you get high, because you never know when you're going to go." I was so tickled. I was so tickled because words are very powerful. And hip hop, rap music, gangster rap music, it does get a bad rap. I mean, the things that people talk about are not necessarily the kinder, more gentler things in life. I'll say it like that. It's people's real stories. And the stories are filled with trauma and drama and hurt against, you know, self, hurt against the community, hurt against women, hurt against children, hurt as partners, you know, hurt as friends. It's real life, right? So when I saw this orchestra of mostly white people playing his album, I realized how important it is to translate, to be willing to translate. That's also a part of love for others and how you build a loving community. You do have to be willing to switch it up. It's necessary. I thought about how many people would have never even thought to listen to Illmatic in their lives, had never even heard of Nas, right? Nas has been around for, you know, forever. He's like a hip-hop god to us. But to a white body, a white 50-year-old body that is not connected with that lifestyle, they would never know. And here he is, you know, in his tuxedo. He's rhyming. People are listening, right? Like, it is the packaging of his art got people to actually listen. So it taught me something. Sometimes we are so focused on a message, like how we want to deliver it. And sometimes it's our job to figure out how many different flavors we can code it in, because everybody isn't the same. And when you want to reach or teach somebody that doesn't come from your community, there is a method of translating and putting it into little bite-sized pieces that they can digest. And I was so, go watch it. Go to PBS and watch it. And also I have to send my deepest condolences and a lot of love to the family and friends of Fredo Santana, who passed away this month. I don't know the details around it. But definitely keeping his family in my heart, you know, losing anybody is difficult. So if you've lost someone this month of February 2018, I am thinking about you and those that make music and that are public and that share their lives with us. That's my choice. When they choose that, when they choose to share themselves and then they are no longer, we don't know what other lessons they had to teach, but we have their eternal words to live by. And that's one of the cool things about even doing podcasts or writing, is that your ideas, your thoughts, your the context of who you are kind of lives on and continues to teach, and people can continue to learn. So, Fredo, homie, you know, the Shy loves you and we'll miss you. So, if you have not figured out what this month's convo is about, it is about love. L-O-V-E. I feel like I want to make a confession. It's probably a good time to make a confession. So, I confess that I am love. I know that sounds pretty weird, but I really do feel like that. I have it written on my wall. I am love. I see it every day, say it every day, and I practice living it every day. It's something that I do on purpose to help ground me, because for so many years I was being dragged around by what I thought was love. And it wasn't until I started this practice of yoga and meditation that I actually started to understand what love energy is and how much space it holds and how far away love can take you if you let it. And traveling on that path of love, and the amazing kind of universal big feelings you can have when somebody can hold space for you with genuine love, without expectations, without reciprocity, just real love. And that came to me when I heard a very, very special song. I Am King Rizzy, 67 Moons. Let this song take you away, and I'll check you in a minute.
Come soar into into my galaxy.
That it takes you off this fucking planet. I would like to say, maybe I'm not there yet, but I promise you, right hand to God, left hand on my heart, that's the kind of love I want to have. And right now, I feel like I do have plenty of room. I don't know about you, but personally, I have a little space inside of myself, and that's where I go touch into my love before I look out to everybody else. So how can love lift others if it has never lifted you? Not just how can love lift others, but how can your love lift others if your love has never lifted you? So it's this misunderstanding that love is something like coffee, right? It's something that you can dilute with cream and sweeten with sugar to make it more palatable, or you can even concentrate it to make it stronger. And that is like what lifts you to your most excited state, right? But you can't get the love you need to lift you up from others because it's inside of you. See, we play these love games. And we end up lovesick, dying for the efforts, words, and actions of others, while saying that our own love that we give is so good. And we wonder and ask others, our partners and people that are in our lives, why can't I get what I give? What if I told you, don't get mad at me, it's just a consideration, it's an invitation. What if I told you, you absolutely are getting what you give? Love energy is something that's personal and it exists without provocation. So if you think about it, notice the love of a child, a smile that needs no gift, forgiveness as simple as a breath, radiate satisfaction with just being aware, like just being alive. They are happy and joyful. They literally are beating hearts full of love. And that's until life tells them only share that love with X. And X does Y, and they never do Z. So love begins to become this economy and an exchange of if then, or something like I gave, now I need to receive. But quite honestly, love requires no reciprocity. Love is because you are. So have you ever felt love for someone just because? Like literally just because this person has done nothing, right? They haven't done anything to harm you. They haven't done anything to disrespect you, but they haven't earned. You know, have you ever heard that? Like, you need to earn my love, or they didn't earn your love or respect. But think about how you felt when you became aware that you were having these love feelings or compassion or gratitude for somebody that either has a negative effect or a neutral effect on your life. You might start to question yourself. You might start to doubt yourself. I always choose, you know, like this type of person. Choosing a person to be in your life is very different from having love energy for them. You can have love for the world, right, and still not rock with them. Like, I have love for people that don't love me. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to let you in my home. But we have this idea of people that don't deserve our love for many different reasons. So there was a really, really wonderful friend of a friend. I'm getting to know her more personally, and I hope she doesn't mind that I share this story And it's not really not a story. It's like a conversation. So I'm at my homeboy Oski's house, and we're talking about love because that's what we do. Talk about real shit. And she's telling me about how she feels when people take advantage or access the soft, gentle places, like, in her, like, that loving space, and she gets hurt. She could get hurt, or she might get hurt, or she did get hurt, right? Any of those things. But she was explaining to me that she's very protective of that space. And everybody doesn't get access to it. But when she was talking about her love, her hands went straight to her heart. Her face softened. Her voice softened. Her eyes got big. And she was there. She was in that soft place that she wanted or actively protects, fiercely protects, like many of us do. We protect our hearts. But there's a difference between sharing yourself with an individual that is not somebody that really should be in your life and living in love energy and sharing it. So I asked her if she knew what happened to fruit that went unpicked on a tree. Think about an apple tree, your favorite apple, and how sweet it is. And if it ripens on the tree, it rots. And that sweetness goes away. And the apple eventually falls to the earth. Now it's not edible. So often we think about our love, like we love hoard. we hold all of this sweetness to ourselves because we live in a society where we have a definition of who deserves love. And I'm not talking about physical love. I'm talking about compassion. I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about love energy. So in this case, like, well, nobody will get it. Nobody will get the sweetness, right? That includes your neighbor. That includes the person who's having a bad day that could use a little bit of love. That includes your child's teacher who might be dealing with something at home. And while you're not unkind, you're not necessarily kind, you're kind of like neutrally nice. you don't give that sweetness away. It's an if then. And if you heard episode 3, you're not triggered to be loving, or you need to be triggered to be loving. So we expect a certain kind of love from others. We expect their love to be exactly what we need. Like, literally, they need to behave a certain way, say it a certain way, have the timing appropriately. Needs to meet our needs, but we have never loved ourselves in the exact way we need it. I honestly don't understand the obsession with love being given in just the right way when we can't give it to ourselves. So I want you to consider how you market your heart to your partner. So you say how much love you have for them, that you support them, you never gave up on them, or you constantly are forgiving them. You're very nurturing. Like, you're pitching your love. But you are unforgiving to yourself. You punish yourself for growth through your struggles. You nurture none of your true self, or maybe you fake it till you make it, so you lie to yourself daily. Yo, that's your love practice. You've been practicing that love for the same person for decades, and this is what you have repackaged to offer it, even though you might not see it. It has probably a very similar flavor, but it's not true love. A quick story, about, the sweetness of love and repackaging it. I don't know if you've ever heard of Honeygate. It actually was something that down in Chicago. So we know how many bees are here, on Earth, and how many hives there are and how much honey these hives can produce. But at some point in time, there was more honey and hives. And people are trying to figure out, where's all this extra honey coming from? Come to find out, China was cutting the honey with a substitute. I believe it was like a rice syrup. It wasn't 100% honey. Now, it looked like honey. It tasted like honey. And even if you did like a chemical analysis on it, it would register as honey, because the whatever additive they were using to cut the honey with was undetectable. Some people cannot put their finger on why it is that the love that you're giving them doesn't feel right. Like they're not as sensitive, or they don't have a practice to discern, like, yo, you got toxic love. It's a couple of things happening, but it's very similar to that. Like, the love that we give ourselves, the love that we practice daily, and then that is the love that we offer. Our eyes, it is our best. It is the best. But sometimes it is a toxic love. It is an incomplete love. It is an unforgiving love. And it is a love that isn't compassionate, because that's, you know, not what we give ourselves. So where is love if it doesn't come from outside? And is it only inside? I don't know if you like poetry, but I do. I am a Rumi fan, and I found this poem, and it really hit me. Love said to me, "There is nothing that is not me." Silent. And answering the question of, so where is love? Yo, it's everywhere. Everywhere. It's inside of you. It is around you. However, depending on what your definition is, it's invisible. Being love and loving doesn't mean allowing others to take advantage of you. Being loving and living in love allows for a humble heart to live in full awareness of the wholeness you embody. Whether that, you know, is the shit that you're working through, like you might be shady, you might be dishonest, you might be incomplete in some regards, but that doesn't mean that you are undeserving of practicing love and sharing love. When you live from your heart center, your love energy, you begin to realize much more of your wants have been hiding poorly as needs. Like, you kind of open your eyes and you realize, I don't know if y'all remember the 90s car kits. I remember being at Florida A&M and cats would get the Lexus car kit and put it on a Camry. Like, yo, I know that's a Camry. But to an untrained eye, to a freshie on campus who knows nothing about cars, right? I have no awareness about even like that would be possible for people to put a car kit on their whip. You take it as it is. Like, it says it's a Lexus, so yeah, it's a Lexus. Some of us have our wants that are misunderstood as needs. And we hold our love hostage. We treat our partners and other people poorly because we feel as though we are not getting our needs met by others. You also begin to recognize that people, like other people as well as yourself, are reflections of rejected boundaries imposed by others. You know, they're not even themselves. When you live from your heart and you live from a loving place, you begin to, you know, touch bases with your highest loving self and acknowledge the difference between your brain and your mind. So this is how you're able to begin to identify, like, some people are just a reflection of the kind of shuffling around that people have told them, like, this is where I want you to be, and they say no, and they come over here. And then this person says, this is how I want you to be and what I need, and they say no. Like, this, some people are not living in full awareness with their choices. They are literally just rejection against other people, and that is who they are. And that's really the love that they give as well. And you also begin to let go of toxic love demands. You begin to practice discernment between what others have for you, what they are willing to give, and you coming from a place of entitlement, dictating what it is that they need to give you without understanding what their true capacity is. Like, yeah, real talk, there are deal breakers in relationships, no matter if they're romantic, you know, work relationships or familial. But you look less, to them for accommodation, and you begin to turn to yourself for understanding mindful connections that serve you. When you start to practice living in your own love, it isn't to like run away from people. I've had lots of conversations where people are using their practice and their understanding from the practice to like just dead people, like, ah, I'm cutting you off. Well, you've cut off all of your opportunities to practice who you are. Like, yoga and meditation isn't for you to like become a hermit. It's for you to live in this life. Feel me? Like, it's for real for you to live in this life, for you to suffer with grace. I told my children the other day, like, yo, hurt is coming for you. I can't protect it. You know, I can't protect you and I can't stop it. That is not my job. My job is to prepare you to love yourself through that hurt. And recognize that none of us can escape that. You begin to see love in its most raw form, and in that it's a powerful transformative energy that exists no matter what, legit, exists no matter what. You can be loving and have different emotions, like you can be angry and still come from a loving place. Be sad, you can be scared. Love is existing in full faith, so much so that you don't let the hurt so bad that you hurt yourself. Love preserves and protects the integrity of the present moment. I mean, don't get it twisted. I've been devastated recently. When I say devastated, I mean, if it wasn't for those words of don't let it hurt so bad that you hurt yourself, gifted to me by my late grandmother, I don't know where I would be. So how do you come back to your love? The first thing you can do is visit your loving self more often. And there's a happiness meditation that's on SoundCloud that I posted. You can practice getting yourself right and touching bases with that love energy, that lightness inside of yourself. Because it is true that you are the only person that can love you perfectly. I would definitely check that out. And it's about 5 minutes. Another way for you to come back to your love is to show gratitude for the love that's offered. So often we are not happy with what others do or say. Like, it's not enough. It never is enough. We are like cups with holes in it. And no matter what people fill us with, whether, you know, they're a gallon container or a teaspoon, it all leaks out. So practice giving yourself an opportunity to be grateful for what is and not what you wish it was. Sometimes we tell people we want 100%. We don't realize that people are dynamic and they need to take care of themselves, or they have other things going on inside of themselves. Even if you're married and you see them every day, you're not in their soul or spirit or in their mind. You have no clue that person is going through inside of themselves. To ask them for 100% is to ask for them to commit suicide and literally give up their energy to meet your wants cloaked as needs. So be grateful for the 20%. That is what your partner has to offer, or your child has to offer, when it comes to, you know, gifting or gratitude or whatever. If they're giving you 100% of the 20% that they have for you, be grateful. And lastly, practice spreading love through being honest with yourself, forgiving yourself, meeting your own needs, letting go of wanting others to give you, and sharing love as freely as air in your attitude. I, you know, living this life in this space has definitely made me a lot calmer, much more peaceful, and I'm not thinking about other people all day. It's weird. Like, I have no words about what people do, why they do it, why I believe what they believe about thoughts that they might have. Like, I don't have time for that. I have so much loving to do. It feels so good to know that I can get there no matter who isn't there, no matter what such and such didn't say or how they said it. I've let all of those things go. And it's still a practice. Sometimes I have to catch myself, but for the most part, I am love. And since I am, I can drink from my own cup as often as I need. So with that, you know I have to close you out with an affirmation, you know, a hip-hop quotable. You might be able to guess, you know, what song is our, you know, work for the for this episode. I'll leave you with Mos Def, Love. I got love, L-O-V-E, and I be. L-O-V-E, and I be. Check y'all later. Peace, y'all. And we believe in the promise. Love, 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 love. Yes, yes, y'all. And we don't stop, because I start to think, and then I sink into the